close this period, this area, speaking always about war crimes. Yes, there has been war crime. Yes, the war is immoral. Yes, we need not to rerun in another civil war. But now we are speaking about a presidential election with a very clear program. I think we have to discuss the vision. We have to discuss the aims, the objectives. We have to think about the future for our children, because we have passed more than 40 years until now, and Lebanon has not recovered yet. If always, every time, we have to stay and open all the war files, we will never step to a peaceful future. So please, let us define the rules of the game. Let us define the rules of the elections, of democracy. Either we are in Lebanon living in a democratic state, and if so, we have democratic rules that we should and we might observe. At the end, we have chosen the MPs, our representatives in the parliament, I think liberally. You know,
I'm glad you mentioned
Hezbollah
that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned
Amal
about members of parliament.
Is more than around.
I'm glad you mentioned about people having seats in the parliaments. Mark Glenn, I'd like to come to you. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs Lawrence Silverman, recently in a speech to the House, U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs. This was a session that was named Lebanon's Security Challenges and U.S. Interests. He, for a major portion of his speech, not major, but at least 25% of the speech that he made, he talked about how Hezbollah, who holds 57 seats in parliament, is dragging the Lebanese people into a war as it protects and empowers the Assad regime. I'm reading off what he said in that session. So my first question is, how it is that the U.S. is characterizing Hezbollah in that form and fashion when it has seats in parliament? And obviously, what is the U.S. goal when it comes to Lebanon overall?
Well, the U.S. goal when it comes to Lebanon overall is to make sure that it does not pose any kind of substantial threat to Israel politically, militarily, being a part of a political bloc such as with Syria and Iran, possibly Russia. The fact that Silverman would single something like this out indicates that the U.S. State Department and, of course, its incestuous relationship with Israel and with Israel's intelligence and military services recognize that Hezbollah is a substantial threat to Israel overrunning and destroying Lebanon as it has done in decades past. This is what they are concerned about. Israel cannot exist in the Middle East where you have strong, stable countries that are able to defend themselves, are able to push back against invasion and destruction. Let's keep in mind that the overall policy that is guiding much of this, even if it is not spoken of openly, is that Israel considers the entirety of the Middle East to be hers. That includes Lebanon, that includes Syria. And what Israel has to have in order to continue to exist is that these states around her are fractured, are warring with each other. In that fashion, they are easily exploitable. And this presidential election is just one manifestation of that. If we entertain for a moment the notion that the United States is not on the ground in Lebanon the way that it was in Syria, the way that it was in Egypt, the way that it is in the Ukraine right now, agitating certain groups into political extremism or political positions that later can be manipulated in Israel and America's favor, then we are just kidding ourselves. I would like to address something very quickly, though, however, that my colleague stated earlier. When we're talking about Jaja, we're not talking about him just being criticized for some violence in the past. He was convicted of four murders by a court And it was only because of an act of the Lebanese parliament that this was rescinded. And these weren't just any political murders that took place, unless my memory is failing me. One of them was the Lebanese prime minister, and the other one was the Lebanese defense minister. So these were high-level players that were taken out by this individual in what can accurately be characterized as a mafia hit. And, you know, there is a saying, particularly in the Middle East, that I think people watching this election cycle need to pay attention to, which is that a leopard doesn't change its spots. The fact that Jaja was part of the Falangist movement, which in effect was a proxy force for Israel, means that he can be counted on to do Israel's bidding. As the commander-in-chief chief of the Lebanese forces, you know, we have to wonder whether or not the plan is that he's actually going to utilize the Lebanese armed forces against Hezbollah.
And that's a good point for me to lead to you, George Salwan. I'm looking at foreign actors here. We talked about the U.S. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia, the recent $3 billion grant that it gave to the country's military. I can't imagine what Saudi Arabia wants in return, other than the fact that, well, perhaps it wants to confront Hezbollah. But wouldn't that be a disaster for Lebanon? Why do you think Saudi Arabia granted this $3 billion loan? And more importantly, why did Lebanon's President Michel Soleiman accept it?
Look, my answer is in a questionable way. Why don't we accept the $3 billion donation of Saudi Arabia to the Lebanese army? Since I think the 1970s, our big problem and essentially against Israel was that the Lebanese army was not well armed, and that's why we had one of the reasons of the civil war in 75 was that the Lebanese army couldn't go and stop this war just in the beginning's week. And now that we have the opportunity to arm the Lebanese army, and you know, Saudi Arabia didn't put conditions for the $3 billion. They only gave it as a donation. We can have other donations also. And at the end, you know, I don't think the real problem in that on the long run, any constitutional vacuum, any presidential vacuum essentially, will lead to, I am afraid, to an implosion of the Lebanese state. And if we have to work against this objective, if we want this state of Lebanon to live and to go forward, we have to assure the Lebanese presidential elections. Some would have at the end the 65 votes of the MPs, and someone would be elected President of the Republic. And the forces of the 14th of March said that they are ready to go and felicitate any candidate who will get the 65 votes of the MPs. I don't know why, until now, we are not going forward for a one-session election of the 13th president of Lebanon.
This very is well. For the I got about a minute left. I'm sorry to jump in, George Salwan. I'd like to come in, Mark Lent, to you, a final statements from you regarding March 8th and March 14th. Recently, some members of the March 14th bloc, as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, Hezbollah Secretary General, said, they came together and supported Hezbollah's involvement in Syria. Does that mean, do you think, that there's divisions that are somewhat wide in the March 14th group, and therefore it's going to be reflected perhaps in the next round of voting to take place for Lebanon's president?
That is possible, but I think that the more likely explanation is that Jaja's group, they understand that it would be political suicide to condemn Hezbollah for fighting these terrorists who are now chewing at the borders of Lebanon and are causing or trying to cause the same kind of murder and mayhem that they have caused in Syria. It would have been political suicide to not support that. However, I think that given the situation in Syria, as you alluded to at the beginning of the broadcast, I think that it has been a game changer in many respects in Lebanon because of the fact that the people sitting in Lebanon understand that those terrorists, you know, they don't respect borders. They probably have a considerable amount of hatred for Lebanon, given its very secularized society. And they understand that at the end of the day that they're going to have to make some hard decisions if they want to continue to not just exist as a sovereign country, but to avoid what has taken place in nearby Iraq and in nearby Syria.
Thank you very much for that. That does it for this edition of The Debate. Let me thank our guest, author and journalist Mark Glenn there from Idaho, and professor and lawyer George Salwan spoke to us from Beirut. Thanks for tuning in to another edition. Any questions or comments, newsroom@pestv.ir is our email address. From Mikko Metapway and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.